You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Heppner on www.simpleflight.net. That's a good fight.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Heppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.
Absolutely love that song. That is so cool.
Yeah, I took a video of you with you dancing over here. Should I ever go see these guys in concert?
No, have you?
Yeah. They're really something to see.
Oh man, well I'm a YouTube fanatic and I saw them doing this on YouTube and I love it, but I'm from University of Iowa and before the Hawkeyes come out, this is what they come back to. And I could just picture them coming down the tunnel.
Oh, no wonder why you love it so much.
Yeah, that's great. So I'm looking over here. I'm in my familiar surroundings on a Sunday night, meaning 8 o'clock, 2000. And that means it's time for Simple Flight Radio from Papa Whiskey Kilo. We've been over at the Signature Flight Support Conference Room, but we've moved over to our new offices here in the last month or so. This is the first time you've been here, right? Well, for our show?
For the show, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty nice setting, right? It's ours.
No, it's nice. I like it.
Yeah, peanuts, popcorn, water.
New carpet,
new TV.
Fresh walls.
Yeah. So, but something doesn't look familiar.
Well, it's because the real Alex is here today.
Is that what it is? Because normally I'm looking at a different Alex. I got Alex 2 or Alex 1 or Alex, I don't know. Who are you?
The Greek,
Alex Katoulis. You know, I don't know if I should mention the name. My boss at my last company that hired me, great Greek name. It was Spiros Palaiologos. That's about as Greek as you can get, I would think.
That's Greek. Usually if it ends in an S.
Yeah, let me get my volume right. So I'm going to look for some people to tweet in and tell me if we're getting this here, because I can't tell if the volume. See, the other Alex does all my volumes and does all the sound stuff for me, so... Hopefully, you all can hear us. If not, we're just having a little one-on-one conversation here tonight.
Well, you're working tonight.
I am working. So this is Mark Heppner with Simple Flight Radio. Again, we are Sunday, August 11th, and we have got a great show for you tonight. Matter of fact, coming off the heels of Oshkosh, which to me is, when you hear Oshkosh, what do you think of? What word? What two words? Air show.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never been there.
That's just nuts. Matter of fact, it's your fault that my wife can now, or she says that she's never been there because she was willing to go if you and your wife were willing to go.
See, I should have told my wife that.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Oh, my God.
I went to the doctor that morning. I was going to cancel. I was going to go with you guys, meet you guys, and, you know, take a ride there. Never been up there. Just because of work, I would never take the time off for work. But now that I work out of the house, I was like, okay, great. You know, I can make it this year, and it still eluded me. And, all right, maybe next year.
Don't keep saying that. You gotta do it. You gotta fly.
I hope this isn't like a pizza.
Like a pizza?
You know, like when your friend comes up to you and says, I got the best pizza in the world. You got to try this place out. He talks about it for a couple of months. And then you finally go, and then it's like, no big deal. The pizza you had at your old neighborhood was better.
Yeah.
And I hope that doesn't happen with me, with Oshkosh, next year.
Well, what made Oshkosh especially good for me is I finally broke it up into two separate days. And I did. And by the way, thank you for the tweets. We're getting it that we're coming across fine, at least to a few households. That one day I focused on social, and one day I focused on just seeing airplanes and ultralights and helicopters and warbirds and doing the watch and learn type thing. So that's what I recommend when you go.
Well, I'll do it next year.
Yeah, yeah.
I still want to fly it.
Well, and that's probably the most, not the most important thing, but the real rush, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, matter of fact, do you ever listen to ATC, liveatc.net and listen to that stuff?
You know what? I did listen to, was it the Fisk approach for the VFR?
Yeah. Well, that yes, it is.
Actually. Okay. So there was something that I had on my iPhone and I was listening to that actually. And, but I did hear a lot of people on something else when they kept calling Milwaukee for flight following. They're like, no, you got to get 70 miles out. No flight following. They were just like, I couldn't believe all the people that were still asking for it.
Oh, it's amazing. Matter of fact, I always listen around Chicago and they don't even listen for the request. You'll hear Chicago approach, you know, X1235 Charlie, request, and they just say unable.
Right.
Or check another frequency. You know, they sometimes have another frequency for that, which basically I think tells them no.
Right.
So it's nuts around here. I really enjoyed it.
They're busy at that time. Yeah, like I said, I'll definitely do that next year.
All right. Well, I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I tried to get there by airplane twice this year, but because of silly little mechanicals, I couldn't.
What was wrong?
Well, one was an airplane that was supposed to come out of annual, didn't because of a broken grease fitting on a prop hub, of all things.
Hmm.
And then our backup was one that just came out of annual and had bad plugs. How does it come out of annual with bad plugs?
I don't know.
I don't know either. So I'm still asking.
That doesn't make any sense. What was it? Was it bad plugs?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, and the thing is, it actually, when you did a mag check,
okay,
it was within 150, 150 drop and 50 to 75 differential. But it's normally right on, and the drop on the right mag was so bad. And I knew it wasn't a fouled plug because my temperatures were there. It just was like I was having an earthquake. The plane was shaking. It just didn't feel right.
Right.
So I don't know how many of the plugs they changed, but they changed them, and it was fine.
I would have took off.
I know you would have.
I'm kidding.
I know you are.
Okay.
Hey, so Al Waterloo can't be with us tonight, which is, his loss. I get you, my gain. But we do have a Waterloo as part of our show tonight.
What's that?
So Mrs. Waterloo, as I affectionately call her, decided to do the Sunday Night Chuckle.
You're giving it up. I can't believe it.
And I'll probably get a quick one in. But just for the weekend, or she said, and I got this through Al, and actually I'm going to adjust it slightly. So Mrs. Waterloo, I apologize, but I felt this would come across a little bit better for the radio. The sentiment is the same.
It already sounds like I want to hear the other version.
Well, no, the other version. Well, I might do both. So, and it's very simple. What did the elephant say to the naked man? I'll do it first her way.
What did the elephant say to the naked man? I don't know.
How do you drink through that thing anyway?
Ooh.
Yeah. Actually, the way I heard it is, so how do you smell through that thing anyway?
Yeah.
Either way.
I like the other one.
Yeah, I know you do. You have that in mind. Actually, for a quick one, it's kind of the naked man joke. What did Adam say to Eve in the Garden of Eden when they first saw each other?
Don't know.
Stand back. I don't know how big this thing's going to get.
I like that too.
All right. Hey, you know what? I get a little bit more in the gutter each week. But it seems to get a better response. Actually, I've gotten wonderful response from our listeners over the last year with my clean joke, so I really don't have to depart from it.
I like last week's joke.
Why did the chicken cross the road? Right. Why did the pervert cross the road?
Right, right.
He was stuck to the chicken.
That was good. That's when I actually texted you guys and said, now that was a funny joke.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, anyway, let's see. Oh, sound levels again. I get reminded to do that right. So you didn't make it to Oshkosh. I haven't seen you. Have you been flying at all?
I went flying yesterday and today. Yesterday I took a friend of mine that I used to work with on the floor together, and his brother flies general aviation. I don't think he's current anymore, but you know, it's not the first time that he's been up in a small plane. So, you know, I had he was a guy who I actually used to work for down on the floor through the firm before we all went independent ourselves. And what ended up happening was I had bought his condo that he had in the city, so I have an in-town over there, and he had bought his mom's place when she had passed away. So
this is like brother of the cousin of the third part of the once removed, whatever.
It's just the history of how he ended up coming here. So the deal was is that, you know, I had some mail, you know, 7 years after I bought this place from him that came to the condo in the city. And I was, you know, and I was just like, you know, he doesn't know why he received this, you know, I've been gone for so long and it's probably nothing anyway. And he asked me if I had mailed it to him yet. It was a week ago. I said, no. And I said, he goes, and he asked me, how's the plane doing? I said, it's fine. I said, you want to go up? And he says, I'd love to. So I said, all right, meet me at the hangar, you know, Saturday morning. And I'll bring the mail. And I was cleaning up some stuff on my desk. And that's when I bring you those couple of videos that I had. Here in some magazines, you know, that just keep him here in the club and that sort of thing. And my wife really wanted to make sure that I get the stuff out of the house and bring it here because, you know, I don't need to look at it anymore. I've already seen it 1500 times and whatever the case may be. So I bring the stuff here. My buddy comes, you know, we get together, we're chatting a little bit, and then he goes, so did you bring the mail? And I'm like, no, because I was so concerned about bringing the other stuff. I forgot his mail. You know, so now I still got to mail it to him anyway, but it wasn't a loss. So we went up and, we took off from here. We, did the lakefront and,
nice.
Yeah, always liked that one. And then, landed in Gary and, you know, I had the door wasn't sealed properly when I, you know, after I took off and I started to hear some noise. And so I didn't want to alarm him and, landed in Gary and I just said, yeah, the door wasn't quite shut. And, you know, cause I just don't want to freak him out. Right. And, we took off and
don't lean to the right.
Yeah. Don't lean to the right. And funny thing was when he had texted me the earlier, in the week and he goes, you have parachutes? And I say, yeah, we have a parachute. I said, but he really thought like individual parachutes. Yeah,
that's what most people thought. Yeah. You know, I'm talking to him about
that. You couldn't believe it when I told him that the plane has its own parachute. You know, I'm just like, you know, I mean, I laugh when people have to talk about a parachute. Cause you'll never get, unless you're wearing that thing, you ain't getting it on, you know, to get out of the plane.
Well, I've been in a few, like a decathlon where I did some upset training. Or as you know, on 4th of July, I got to ride in the Mentor, the T-34s.
Right.
And you have to put on a parachute. And I freak out because he says, okay, and I don't even remember, it's headset, handle, harness or something. You got to do it in the right order because if you open up the canopy and if your seatbelt's not on, you'll fly out or you got to get the headset off. And I keep on doing this to myself thinking, and if he says, if I say jump, don't ask, just get out.
Right.
So I'm thinking, what if this happens? I mean, I'll keep saying, nah, you're kidding. And what if he is kidding? And I'm out the window.
Yeah, no kidding. So we take off out of Gary and, everything's fine. You know, you don't hear no whistling or anything like that. And so we're coming back across the lakefront and, you know, we're just passing the, you know, the buildings and, you know, we're coming up and sure enough, isn't there a wasp in the cockpit?
Oh no.
And again, like I said, first time he's been up in like forever, but it was so cute. And I'm like hitting him with my iPad, you know, so to try to kill the thing. But, you know, then I think I pissed him off, the wasp, because I didn't kill him. And then, you know, he had some Kleenex. And so we eventually got it together and killed the thing, and it was just so stupid. So
murder at 3,500 feet.
I think I was actually at 2,500 feet, actually. And, you know, so then we flew up north and landed in Racine, got some gas over there just because I was going to go back there today, which is what I did. And I took my wife and daughter. We went to Racine today. There was a dog show up there. And, you know, we have that poodle and the breeder who we bought that our original poodle 9 years ago, she's retiring. So, they were showing their dogs up there today and, one of the male new litter that she has, you know, we're getting one of those male dogs. And so, we went to go check him out.
Are you going to buy Mutt Muss for your new dog?
He wears the one that we have now. He actually wears those orange,
earplugs?
Yeah, earplugs. He wears orange earplugs. My wife wears them too. She doesn't wear the headset anymore.
Well, I understand a human. I don't think I've ever seen a dog with the little orange earplugs.
Yeah, he has the earplugs in his ears.
Oh my goodness. You gotta take a picture of that for me.
Yeah, I mean, you can't see him.
Well, lift up the flap of the ear. You can see him.
I have pictures of my wife with the dog in the plane, you know, and like she covers him and, you know, he just lays her with her and he's actually a great flyer.
Yeah. I've not taken a dog up, although we have a friend. Actually, I don't know if you know the person I'm thinking of, but she flies, oh my goodness, Pilots for Paws or something like that. And it's dogs in distress that need to be moved from one place to the other. And it's kind of like Angel Flight for...
Like rescue?
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And she just loves it. You know, I just don't like the dogs that shed all the hair, but it's for a good cause.
I mean, right. There was a guy here that had, I remember that Columbia 350 that used to do that.
Yep.
He used to fly, you know, pick up dogs all the time.
Yeah.
Is what he did. But, you know, I mean, he was just, he always had dogs with him. It was crazy, you know, but, you know, where he went, I couldn't even tell you. But yeah, it was a neat trip there. You know, it was better than driving. My wife was real excited. She finally got to use the plane for something that she wanted to use it for. And, it was painless. I mean, I climbed up to like 3,500 feet and then I go over and walk
here. For those people listening that aren't from the area, it's not a long trip.
No, it's the 40 nautical miles.
Not even cross country.
Yeah. So it's just like you go up and then come right back down again. And it was painless. And she was like, wow. She's like, you know, you can never get rid of it. You know, you always have to have something. This is just so easy. And so now she's asking me, when we go pick up the dog, if there's an airport nearby, because the ride is probably about a little bit over 2 hours west of here to go pick up the dog. And so I kind of mapped it out. I'm like, yeah, it's a 33-minute flight. I said, you know, to get there, I think is what it is versus the 2 hours or something. So, you know, so that'll make it easy.
Actually, I want to go. There's an airport near us and I can't think of the identifier, Galt. It's escaping me right now, but that's
not 10 Charlie, is it?
Yeah, actually, I think it is.
Or is that Campbell?
No, that's it. 10 Charlie.
Okay.
Good memory.
Yeah.
So it was up for sale, I think some 2.5 million for a while. And I always liked that airport. They had concerts outside there, had a great facility with pictures of everyone that had ever soloed there over many years. I didn't even know it had sold for something, I think, less than 2.5 million, maybe even less than 2 million. That was kind of a fire sale.
Yeah.
And they just repaved the entire runway. It's in really great shape. So,
I mean, an airport like that, you know, I've landed there a few times. I mean, I don't know anything about this stuff. I mean, where does their revenue come from? Somebody buys that place, pays $2 million. I mean, where's the revenue stream? I mean, I know there's hangars up there. I'm assuming. There's
hangars, and probably if he owns the fuel sales, that's that. Maybe some maintenance dollars,
right.
If he has an FBO for instruction. You know, it's just kind of multiple sources. There might be some government funding, at least for construction, if nothing else, for improvements and all. So I don't know. Maybe we should have a guest come from the airport manager's office here. He can talk to us about how airports make money or how they lose less money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this place is busy, but I mean, I just don't know
these
other airports that, you know, are just outside of here. You know, if they sell for those type of dollars, really what's, you know, how long does it take to get that back?
We will find out another show.
Okay.
By the way, I did get a tweet and it said clean up my act on the jokes.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was dirty.
Yeah. Well, I think the person was just being funny.
Oh, okay.
Unlike me.
All right.
So this week I was very frustrated. It's been like 3 weeks since I've flown. And so yesterday I decided, all right, I'm going to fly. So I grabbed the Bonanza, went over to get fuel. And where do we go to get fuel? 3CK, Lake in the Hills, right?
Best place.
Not anymore.
Really?
Yeah. So we come in there and
I should say cheapest place.
Not anymore. So the Archer goes in there, and the Archer was very low on fuel. And they said, we don't do fuel on weekends anymore, only during the week. And I understand they jacked the price up like $2 a gallon.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, because they want to get out of the fuel business, is the way I understand it. Not confirmed, but they did. So they filled him up.
Yeah.
And then they said to us, you know, no, we're it's it. So I continued on to Burlington, Bravo Uniform, and their gas was low fives, but it's over six at Lake in the Hills and no weekend fuel. It's just nuts.
Wow. Didn't they have like a little self-serve tank on the side over there?
Yeah, they used to use it, and I heard they were going to reopen it, but I don't think so. I think the ownership and management just wants to get out of the business. They do a lot of business at this airport too, Papa Whiskey Kilo.
Yeah, there were some rumblings I know when I was there about 6 months ago, and I something with the fuel, and I didn't know exactly what was going on. I couldn't, and if I would tell you, I would be lying, but I don't remember what.
Well, at least you're consistent.
Yeah, you know. I always tell the truth, even when I lie. You know what movie that's from?
Is Dustin Hoffman in it?
No, it was Scarface.
De Niro.
No, Al Pacino.
Pacino. I get those guys all confused.
That's right.
Pacino was in Serpico, too. Hmm. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, but I can't remember it.
It's when he's the honest cop, and all his cop buddies try to kill him.
Oh, maybe I didn't see it.
Yeah, you should see it. It's a good movie. Yeah. For some reason, when it's Dustin Hoffman and Al Pacino, I get them messed up.
Yeah, I watched Tootsie a couple weeks ago, believe it or not.
Have you seen Planes?
No, but I want to go see it.
So do I. I don't think, you know, I do a Saturday night date where I do dinner and a movie every Saturday night with another couple and my wife and I. And I think they think that it would be silly to go see Planes, and I think it'd be a wonderful movie.
Yeah, I asked my daughter if she wanted to go. She said no. Then I said maybe I can take my two nephews. You know, they'd probably like it. But
I'll tell your nephews. I'll rent them out.
Okay.
Just to take them to the movie, and then I can say, oh, yeah, I'll go too.
Hell, I'll meet you.
Yeah. I did see Two Guns yesterday with Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg. Hmm. I wasn't expecting much. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it was,
I want to see that one, The Millers.
Yeah, I talked to somebody today, or was it yesterday, said to them at least, it was one of the funniest movies. They just laughed their tushy off.
All right.
So we'll see.
That was a clean way of putting it.
Yeah, something like that. LMAIOF or whatever.
Here we go.
There we go. So yeah, so I flew a little yesterday. We did a dog day afternoon where we cooked some hot dogs in the hangar, 48 hot dogs, and we had orders for 49. So only one unsatisfied customer, and just hung around, then flew out, got some fuel. And today we had a fly out with a lot of other clubs. We were supposed to go to Sheboygan, Sierra Bravo Mike, but weather in Wisconsin, they all canceled. And we had such beautiful weather down here that we grabbed two planes. It was funny. We had a Leading Edge Flying Club fly out in a different organization's airplanes because our airplanes were all busy. So.
Yeah. When I left this morning, I was looking and, I was looking at the radar and there was some stuff coming through, but by the time I was going to land over there, it was going to be fine. It did rain, after I got there when I was at the dog show for a little while, but, cleared out, but it was fine. I was looking from where it was coming from and checking the taps at the other airport and the meat cars and stuff, but everything was still it wasn't even marginal. I mean, it was still 4,000 feet or whatever the case would be. So safe for a little guy like me.
A little guy like you.
Yeah, a little guy like me.
So, one of the things about Oshkosh and Al Licks Waterloo and I have been talking, there seems to be a softening, if you will. I don't know if it's in demand or whatever, but the emotion for us, at least, around air shows. I love seeing turbines, right? The jets, the military, Blue Angels, Thunderbirds. I don't care if it's Snowbirds, whatever. I just get excited, or anything with a jet engine. But when the prop stuff, even the P-51s, or they do some cool things, other than Sean Tucker, I don't get excited about air shows.
Yeah.
And it's, I'll watch it, okay, that's cool, but then the next group that comes in, they're all doing somewhat of the same maneuvers. And Sean Tucker's exciting, Patty Wagstaff does a good job. They all do good jobs, but all of a sudden I get kind of bored with it.
You know, what looks different to me is when I'm down at the condo in the city and I'm just a little bit west, a few blocks west of the lake, so I can see the show from my place. And, that's one thing, I've been to the lake shore, to see it that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the best way that I saw it, I had a friend of mine downtown that he has like this 57-foot sailboat, and he invited a bunch of us out there. And that was pretty cool, because now when you talk about these piston airplanes, You know, when you see them fly directly over you at like 300 feet, I mean, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so when you see it that way.
It's a good point.
It's pretty cool to see, as opposed to being, let's say, in your unit looking at it. It doesn't look like no big deal. Even if you're sitting on the beach, you know, it's so far away from you. But man, when these things just are flying right over you, you know, 3, 4, 5 of them at a time. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about the Chicago Air and Water Show, which is next week. And again, right. This will be a week that, or excuse me, a year, because of sequestration, we won't have the military team. So it'll be interesting to see the response. But, you know, our guest tonight is all about air shows. He puts on air shows. And I'm very interested to talk to him because this is a new business. This isn't an old business that we'll see how he's doing. So he's obviously got a lot of positive feelings about what the air show is, can be, and all that. And, you know, he's agreed to talk to us. It's John Kalman of JLC Air Show Management. And you can actually see one of his air shows that's coming up. They do websites for each one, which is wingsovernorthgeorgia.com. And he's out of the Atlanta area. So, what do you say we get him on the line and start talking about air shows?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Let's get here. I always love the Skype Connect.
Hello.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, buddy?
How are you?
Oh, it's a Sunday night, getting ready to get back to an edit tomorrow morning.
Well, I would think in the business you're in that there's no difference between Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays and Tuesdays.
There's really not, if you want to know the truth. It's 24/7 in this business.
Oh, I think I hear. Can you turn down your speakers in the background?
I thought I turned it off.
Oh, I'm still hearing it. But that's okay.
How about now? Is that better?
I'm still hearing it. Alex, you hear it? That's all right. It's quiet enough that I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I hear it too a little bit in the background.
Let me just turn it completely off. It won't take me but just this moment.
All yet. Right, great.
I thought it was off, quite frankly. I was listening to the show, and then that sort of happened.
Yeah, that's common. You know, it's in regular over-the-air radio, there's like a 7-second delay. This is like a 20-25-second delay, so no big deal. He'll be right back. I can still hear it.
Oh, I know it. Let me see if I can get this thing completely off, Mark. Bear with me. I screwed it up.
No, that's okay. Well, we'd like to know that you're listening.
I feel like I'm listening to the podcast.
Yeah, right. This is an archive on demand. All right. Well, so. Don't worry about it.
All right, I'm back. It's completely off.
Yay. Okay, well, we're fine. So how are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's just, we're down to 60 days out. So things are really starting to, the intensity's rising because we put on a show that's unlike a mom and pop show. It's a full blown, version like the ones I did in the military.
Okay. Well, so we were just starting to talk about it. You may have heard us about, you know, there's a lot of people that are more experienced with aviation that for some reason, just the air show of seeing one team come in and do some barrel rolls and loops, and then another team comes in and does some barrel loops and a hammerhead, and all of a sudden it's like, gosh, isn't there something new and exciting? And obviously you've got something going there where you are adding a whole new level of freshness and excitement to the air show, right?
I think so. It was a little bit of a science project for us last year. The last show that I did was at Dobbins Air Force Base there in October 2010, where we had the Blue Angels and Snowbirds, you know, standard open house military public show with all the whistles and bells. But once I retired and decided to do this line of work, I knew it was going to take, in the civilian side of the house, at least I thought so, it was going to take some creativity in order to anchor these things, especially with the economics in our country right now, you know, are not the best in the world. So we added the car show factor to it, and oh, then nice. We added a barbecue, Kansas City Barbecue Society sanctioned event with it, and tried that last year, and overall it went pretty well.
Actually, whenever I see airplanes and cars get together, Yeah, that really brings in a whole nother faction. And now you mentioned Kansas City Barbecue. I'm ready to come out there for that.
I went to one of those.
Did you really?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, so when you say Kansas City Sanctioned, is it one of the providers that we know and love in Kansas City, like a Jack Stack or a Oklahoma Joe's? Or is it just someone that said, yeah, this tastes like Kansas City stuff, you can use it?
Well, to be honest, it has nothing to do with any of that. It's a sanctioned event. And, the competitors, last year we had 56, right out of the blocks. The competitors come in and compete for about $15,000 in prize money.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
I'm learning a lot more about it than I had this time last year. And it is really cool is why we kept it. Because it brings such another group of folks to the show who also enjoys, airplanes and all that. So I think it just reinforces the anchorness of our shows.
There you go. So let's take our audience back a little bit. You mentioned military, obviously. I shouldn't say obviously, but you've let us know that you spent some 37 years in the Air Force, not as a pilot, but part of a flight crew on a Hercules. What'd you say, some 5,000 hours? So why don't you give us a little background of what you were doing and then what brought you to your current company and explain a little bit about that as well.
Okay, I'll try to give you the nickel version of that. When I was a little guy growing up back home in Brunswick, Georgia, down the Georgia coast, they had a naval air station there called Glencoe. And, the air show came there every year. And that's where I fell in love with airplanes and, all that coolness. So as I got older and got through high school, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do when I grew up. So I enlisted in the Air Force and sort of never looked back. Finally got a flying job in there and that went just great. And then, some 35 years later, I'm starting to look at the end of the road and I said, I've gotten pretty good at these special projects and air shows and deployments and all this cool stuff, planning it. So why don't I keep the dream alive? So that's what I did. And we went to the, put together a team, moved the air show from, Dobbins. Really, I moved it up to Rome, Georgia, which is about 37, 35 nautical miles just north of Rome. I mean, north of Marietta, Georgia there at, where Dobbins is at.
But you do more than the one show in Rome, or do you not?
Well, we got another show on the horizon. I won't talk about it yet, but we're trying to get it stood up by May of 15. And that'll be in southeast Georgia, kind of figure out where I come from.
Yeah, but, right.
That's where we're trying to get that show down there. Less than a year of being in this stuff, we've already got one show anchored doing our second year, and we're consulting with other shows, helping them out. But more importantly, I'm trying to get my two shows, alive. But I tell you what we really got going on, and it's still a possibility we'll launch it next year, but me and a team of other guys are putting together what's going to be known as an air show series. And that's really where I'm trying to take our company in the future, much like the NASCAR model, much like the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey model, where we just take this show from town to town to town.
Well, that's what I'd love to see because, we had some shows here in the north side of Chicago, which were a combination of cars and airplanes. And it was amazing how many people came out that normally wouldn't because of the cars.
Oh, the car thing, I'm still up in the air about that one. I'm not actually doing the car show this year. We're putting more of an emphasis like Oshkosh or Sun and Fun where we're opening it up for general aviation fly-in, and I really need the ramp space. But if there's the problem with the car guys, and I love them to death, I hope they don't get too angry at me, but if there's a cloud in the sky, they don't show up. And, I'm putting on a show, so I've got to have something people to come look at. But the barbecue guys are going to show up rain, snow, sleet, or hail. And the air show people, we got three different shows that we can fly from a flat show to a medium show all the way up to the high show. So we're in pretty good shape there. And then, of course, the general aviation guys, based on, what I know out there in the system with these guys, they like to come and show off their airplanes and watch air shows.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you target then pilots, or do you also target the community that is surrounding that may not know that much about airplanes?
Both. The community area, you have to really look at all the requirements going into an air show nowadays. I'll tell you, Mark, it's, you know, the FAA dealing with, you know, the aero box, the waivers, the restrictions, the airspace, and, you know, you've got to have all that stuff in place or it's just not going to work. And what we try to make sure we've got with what we're doing with my model is we've got a formation jet team or a formation aerobatic team that'll be moving with us when we go because that's what a lot of the – you got to have that. You got to be able to show up around something like that, I feel. At least that's where I'm coming from with it.
Yeah, well, I was just saying to Alex here that, you know, if it weren't for – the Thunderbirds or the, you know, any of the jet military teams, I'm always feeling like I'm missing something. That's the thing that gets me going personally. And even at Oshkosh, it was nice to see the Black Diamond and the L-39s performing.
Yeah.
And I saw actually at your website, Wings Over North Georgia. Is it .com? I apologize. I also blanked out on that. .com or .org?
It's .com.
.com. Yes. WingsOverNorthGeorgia.com, that they were part of your show that you're coming up there in Rome.
Yep, we've got those, Jive and Snort and the rest of the gang coming. You know, they're just wonderful former military pilots and guys who like to do this business. And for me personally, I just like working with those guys, and I like working with the Patriots on the Pacific Coast. So we're trying to work with both of those teams right now and factor them into the series equation. I've really got a great marketing group that I've hooked up with that's very connected in the corporate world of Fortune 100 companies. And guys, here's the truth of the things. The air show business is where NASCAR was in 1971 is the way I look at it. And you got all these millions of people that want to go to shows, and very few of the performers are branded. And that's one of my personal goals is to get these performers branded, get the shows branded. And, I doubt if I'll ever be a Bill France or a NASCAR, but I wouldn't mind being some junior version of those guys.
Wow. So do you, and I apologize. I don't know the Wings Over North Georgia that great, but I don't think in my perusal of it, I didn't see like a Sean Tucker. So do you stay away from some of the Patty Wagstaffs and Sean Tuckers, or are they potentially going to be part of the, current offering or future offering?
Absolutely. They would be part of the future. I've worked with both of them in the past. You got to realize a lot of the performers were scheduled to go out to San Francisco Fleet Week, which is the same weekend as our show was before sequestration shut it down. But, you know, we've got the likes of Mike Wiskus with the Lucas Oil sponsorship. We've got John Klatt. We've got Ken Peach. We've got Bill Brack with the Smoking Thunder jet car, Gary Ward, Buck Ropeman, Greg Connell, Jim Tobel with the F4U Corsair, and Scooter Yoke with the P-51. So everything we got are all tier one performers. And, as we move around the Patty Wagstaffs, I had Gooley in last year. So we're very connected with all these guys, but sometimes you just got to deconflict shows in order, you know, to have an opportunity to have them at your event.
I know you mentioned Snort, if I'm saying that correctly. The military guy, the pilot.
Yep, right? He was F-14 Tomcat demo guy, and you know, until the Tomcats went away.
Yeah, and he I saw him actually on YouTube. If I'm saying it, the team that he's on, isn't it that MS-760?
No, he's with the Black Diamond guys.
Black Diamond guys. Okay, was he with those MS-760 guys? I thought that's what I saw. Something before in the past, on YouTube, but maybe that was, you know, that was that company that came out and they were buying all those older, French military aircraft. And I think they hired him on, and then they were doing like this traveling deal. And I know he was part of that. So I just didn't know what was going on there. So I wasn't sure if he was coming around with that plane or who he was with.
Well, I don't recognize the name of the company, but I know who you're talking about, and I think that is the same group that they're with. But the Black Diamonds is the jet team that's spun out of all that stuff, and they're all still down there in Lakeland, Florida, doing what you're talking about.
Okay.
So when sequestration, I don't know that it'll ever be over, is how much of an impact was that to your business that you just put together in the last few years, and do you think it's short-term and will – how will your business change again should we come out of that?
Well, it affected us this year tremendously because we had the Thunderbird scheduled to be at Rome in October. Wow. And of course, you know, that shut us down. But I'll tell you guys, I've never been one after I spent all those years in the military and know how the flying world works and, you know, how the government military dollars are getting smaller and smaller. I just never as a company put all my eggs in one basket depending nothing on the military. So that's why you see the diversity, that we do with our show. I think sequestration, whether it's called that, is going to be around probably for a long time because just the fact of the matter is the lack of dollars.
Yep.
What levels it happens after this year, I would hope that the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds and the jump teams, you know, get their wings back to perform, because it's such a huge patriotic and Americana and recruiting tool for our government's militaries.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we mentioned just before we head in the air that next weekend is the Chicago Air and Water Show, which is one of the biggest shows, I think, in the country.
It is.
And I'm interested to see the impact from the general public's view because we won't have the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels. They alternate year to year, and to see if the excitement is still there.
I suspect it'll be similar to what happened last weekend at Sea Fair out in Seattle without the Blue Angels there. And there was a huge, and I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm hearing around a 40% reduction in attendance and overall participation in that show. And that's that show out in Seattle, which is a water show as well, you know, with the boat racing stuff. They felt the impact. And of course, the Patriot jet team, almost the same style as the Black Diamond, were out there, did an outstanding job. But, the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds, I mean, they're national, assets to the air show business in North America. And it's definitely hurting a lot of these, shows that's been well rooted with those guys always showing up.
Yeah. I imagine though, and I haven't heard if there's any impact on the Canadian side of the border, but the Snowbirds must be turning away a lot of opportunities if they're still flying.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to the Snowbird guys. In fact, they're scheduled to be at El Paso at Biggs Air Show the same weekend of ours, and they just lost that show because Biggs, due to sequestration, couldn't host them. And they could not do a deal quick enough to flip over to this other place they're going to, which is, you know, I don't know, I think somebody said 10 miles away from where Biggs Army Airfield is. I got the phone call, in fact, could we host the Snowbirds? And I said, absolutely, bring them on. I'd love the Snowbirds. We had them last year. But, you know, I'm sure that it was just too quick for all that, you know, to turn around. But, yeah, the Snowbirds is really – helped out the North American air show industry down on the south of the border here in the United States this year.
Yeah, I would think so. Just because, again, who cares what it's called and where it's from? But when you can form a team and perform with that precision with turbine aircraft, it's pilot or not, people just love to see it and hear it.
That's correct. And you know, that's one of the reasons why we've got the Black Diamond guys with us. And very excited to have the whole team come in this year and perform for us as our headliner.
Yeah. So as I understand it, now your shows have an admission charge for the audience, right?
Yes.
So a lot of them, of course, do, and but many more, I would think, do not. What is different about yours? Where do you think your value add is such that people say, yeah, this is how I want to spend my disposable dollars, whether I'm in the aviation community or not?
Well, I don't have the exact numbers, but I'll put it in perspective. We have a ICAST marketing report that comes out every year. And if you base the value you get from an air show, especially one of the type that my company produces, where we're flying almost six straight solid hours, and you go to an NFL game or a Braves game down at the stadium or something along those lines, where you're spending 15, maybe 20 bucks at our show, you're spending 75 to 100 at one of those events.
Got it. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it in those kind of terms.
Yeah. And we put flying in the air at our show, at 10:30 in the morning, you know, with the opening ceremonies and all that good stuff. But we don't shut flying down till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's a 6 hour show of continuous, aircraft overhead and in front of you.
So that means once, if you're not there in terms of a fly-in when it starts, you're not getting in.
That's correct. Once the box goes hot, it's hot until it shuts down.
Wow. Now, do the people that fly in, they get charged admission fee as well, right?
Well, it depends. I've got, in my particular model, if you want to come in and show your aircraft off and be part of the static display stuff, come on in. We'll take care of the pilot and co-pilot in that deal. Now, if you're coming just to watch the show, we'll park the aircraft in our transit area, and, of course, there'll be just basic a general admission charge for that.
Okay. Actually, it's no different than a lot. I don't know if you've seen some of the smaller shows or heard of. We have one at an airport called CLOW, C-L-O-W, on the south side of Chicago. And the first weekend in June, they do something called the Cavalcade of Planes. And there's not much in terms of performance. We might have a flyby of, we had B-1 bomber, but it's a lot of static displays of the different manufacturers. And they bring in some 20,000 people. From the community that all pay admission fee, but like you said, you know, if I fly my plane over and put it on the static display, I'm free.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with me, all the military show side, it was always free because it was an open public house. But on this side of the fence, being, doing a civilian show, we got to find a way to pay for all that fuel and performer appearances. So, you know, there's got to be a charge. You just can't avoid it. But we try to keep it humble and where we can pay the bills and give some back to the community in forms of charity and different things. And so far, it looks like our model is right on target.
Yeah. Now, do you also let's say, a local restaurant vendor pay a fee to provide food? Maybe, you know, is that a different income source for you?
Well, what I'm doing right now at the present, because that's all I knew from my military days, we sign up with a national concessionaire who comes in and does all of that for us, and we just take a percentage of what's sold. But we also have the capability with that of recommending certain concessionaires or people who want to vend from the local area to that person, to that concessionaire, and they usually work with them fairly easily. And, of course, then we got the barbecue concessionaires that I bring in and oversee all of that.
Cool. So take us through, you know, kind of your involvement and what your company does before the show, during the show, and after the show. You know, what do you bring to a community when you put the show on?
Well, before the show, from the time the show ended last year until literally tonight talking to you, it's nonstop planning. Our air show industry has a ICAS, International Council of Air Show Convention, every December where all the performers and all the events go there to book performers. But right now, I'll tell you, Mark, I'm looking at 2015 right now. That's how far out that we do with the planning. But bringing the, to the community, in Floyd County where we're doing it there in Rome, Georgia, they're just absolutely wonderful people. They've wrapped their arms around me, my company, and this whole concept, about, you know, exposing, you know, and having that venue there. So that's great because we ended up being last year, even though it rained on Sunday, we ended up being the number one event in North Georgia economic impact last year. Which if you took second and third and put them together, they still didn't reach our numbers, which I was amazed. I learned that after the fact. So they're right now loving us, and with what we got planned for the future, we're just trying to grow together. And I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to me because, you know, we only see one part of it, and that is you show up and you see airplanes. Obviously, there's some prep. And someone had to arrange it all. But when you start talking about the concessions, a barbecue contest, the cars and all that, and it takes you a year to do it, it's kind of an overwhelming thought for kind of the layman here that doesn't know what really goes on behind the scenes.
Well, it goes much deeper than that. You got to deal with security. We've got to deal with FAA. We've got to deal with fencing people, port-a-john people. I mean, all of these different parts it takes to build a little city up in a day and a half. We use it for 2.5 days, and then we have to tear it down Sunday night and Monday morning, and then host anywhere from 50 to 100,000 people at the same time. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And plus, you know, we try to make sure, that we're giving everybody a good bang for their buck, and it's safe, and, they'll want to come back the next year.
Yeah. 50 to 100,000 people. Gosh, not quite Oshkosh proportions, but those are, big numbers.
Yeah. They're pretty big numbers. And I see that doing nothing but growing. The air show industry since, 2008, when everything fell apart with our economy, the air show industry has actually seen a 20% rise in attendance due to the case that so many people now can't afford to go to Walt or Disney World down there and spend $5,000. They're doing these things called staycations, and the air show industry has really benefited from that. Unfortunately, sequestration hurt a lot of shows this year, but overall the industry has thrived real well since the economic, you know, situation in November 2008.
Yeah, one of the things that Al and I are very focused on is how to help and the people that are out helping bring new attention to general aviation. And I would think, judging by the faces I see in the little boys and girls at places like Oshkosh, that air shows is a great way to get them excited about general aviation.
I agree. And that's one of the reasons I was one of those little boys many, many years ago, and I still get excited seeing the airplanes fly and, you know, walking around looking at statics and talking to people. It's just a cool place to be, and you're around just fun people.
When are we going to grow up?
I'll never will, I hope.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm looking at the website, and I think I want to be in the Chairman's Club.
Well, what's the Chairman's Club? Tell me more.
It's what you get at, you know, advanced purchase and air show general admission. Reserve airport parking, let's see, concierge style services, show line seating, viewing area. I mean, it's a nice spot where you get to sit. You know, it's like front row tickets at the Hawks game. You know,
looks
premium food and beverages, enclosed dining.
By the way, that's the Blackhawks, not the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah. Private, private restroom facilities. Hey, this is all right.
Yeah. There you go. Actually, John, when you said the porta potties, I'm going back a few years, but I used to run the traveling basketball and traveling baseball program in our community for youth. And I put on a baseball tournament and it became very popular. And my number one focus was making sure the porta potties we brought in were clean and that they had toilet paper all the time so we could make the moms happy. And it was huge how many people mentioned that they loved our porta potty facilities.
You know where the most important porta potty needs to be put is when the people get off the bus coming from the Braves Stadium to our show. We have 4 set up there, and they're just nonstop with people coming off the buses. And I get laughed at, but when I told people to put them up there, they thought I was crazy. I said, "You'll see why." And sure enough, that is such an important little item at any type of big event like this.
Well, you got to make sure you stop serving beer on the bus.
Oh, that's true too. And God knows, us fly boys like our beer.
After the flight.
That's true. After the fight. Hey, a couple things I don't want to make sure I miss.
Sure.
To get in with you guys. We got some special guests that, you know, we focus on at our show. And this year, we got Dutch Van Kirk, which is the sole surviving member off of the Enola Gay. He's a personal friend of ours, lives here in Atlanta. And, so he's going to be there, you know, hanging out, seeing everybody. And we think Punchy Powell is going to be with him. And he was a P-51 driver during D-Day. So put those two guys together. They're quite the team, telling war stories from, World War II. And then we've got, the general aviation flying. We already talked about that, but you know, we're big into patriotic and Americana and all that good stuff when we do a show. Just want to make sure I get that in for you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was talking to Alex before, I enjoyed my Oshkosh experience this year more than other years, and there's maybe various reasons, but one of the things that people may be surprised, I never really spent that much time at the air show. You know, I got some VIP passes. It was nice to get a free ice cream and a free water. And I'd watched Sean and Patty and of course the military jets. But this time I actually watched the Torah, Torah, Torah thing they do.
They do a great job.
They do a great job. And what I came away with is like, you know, I've always seen the big explosions, the pyrotechnics and all that from afar because I used that time usually to go shopping when everyone else was not shopping. But I came away saying I really like how they told the story. It just wasn't watching people. Are there other shows that do that to actually tell a story with the airplanes and help us relive some of the moments that should never be forgotten?
There actually is. There's a couple of teams out there, and we had the Liberty Jump Team with us last year, which is a World War II commemorative jump team, and we didn't use them this year because we had a conflicting date. But we got those, and then there's quite a few of those out there. The Battle of Midway is another group that puts on a nice little show. Of course, Tora 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 is probably the most famous of all of them, and we hope to have them in Rome and some of my future shows as we move forward. But to answer your question, there's quite a few of them out there that do that.
See what I've been missing?
Missing a lot.
I'm missing a lot. So, John, in terms of kind of the changes that you'd like to see, I mean, do you have a vision for what you provide other than getting to more cities, or do you think it's really not going to change and truly the growth will only come from growing exactly what you're delivering today?
I think the whole industry is going to go through a little bit of a metamorphosis here over the next few years, and you're going to see the civilian shows probably reduce in numbers, but the shows will actually increase in strength because it'll be folks like us that, you know, will make it that way. I think the series piece that we're working, trying to develop, could be some stability in there for a lot of shows that normally wouldn't be able to be able to survive this stuff. But I think the military pieces of it where, you know, the big military air shows and all that stuff, it's such a strain on their budgets. I think you're going to see less and less of the military shows on military property. I don't think we're going to see the jet teams disappear. I think it's just going to be more targeted at civilian shows.
I'm trying to imagine Thunderbirds or Blue Angels doing less, and potentially that means practicing less. And when you're flying that fast at a foot and a half or 2 foot wingtip to wingtip,
yep,
I would think there's some potential proficiency issues. Maybe I'm overstating it, but you got to practice that stuff.
Absolutely. Just being a flyer myself for all them years, you know, we flew, I averaged probably about 30 hours a month just in what I did, from a training standpoint, not operational. But, yeah, those guys have even got to train more so because of what they're doing and who they're representing at the same time.
I was at a sales meeting, getting a little on a tangential subject here, but was at a sales meeting, and we brought in a gentleman. I can't remember his name now, but he was a former Blue Angel, and he had brought videos and stories, and what I was impressed with was they talked about the, after every time they performed, whether it was practice or performing for the public, how they did a debrief, and everyone talked about what they each could have done better, the mistakes they made, and they finished every statement with, and I'm glad to be here, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I just thought that was just so cool because that's part of the thing that we don't see. We only see the performance, but the preparation, just like your business, the preparation and then the debrief so that they get better is so critical and pretty neat stuff when you get to see it.
Well, you know, every one of their performances is filmed by their video crew on the ground, and then there is at least a one-hour debrief as soon as they get through, whether it's practice, it's immediate, but if they're doing a show, as soon as they get through shaking people's hand and signing autographs, they go into a briefing that lasts anywhere from an hour to 2 hours after every one of their performances. I'm familiar with that because one of the guys in my company is a former Thunderbird. He was the director of operations for them. So that's why I know a lot of the internal works of the teams.
Yeah, it's, again, I don't think whether maybe the aviation community has a little bit more insight to that, but just the general public doesn't know what goes on before and after the show. We're just all interested in the show itself.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're highly skilled professional athletes, if you want to call them athletes. But, they do quite the job and they never lose focus of what they're doing. They can't.
Right. Actually, I had to laugh. I was invited to something called Breakfast with the Blue Angels before the Chicago Air and Water Show. And basically two of the team, one a pilot and one of the part of the ground crew, was up there and they talked to all of us in this room. And, I just lost my train of thought. Alex, what happened with that?
you're getting older.
I guess so. I don't know where that came from, but
that's the second thing to go.
Yeah, now you sound like my parents used to tell me. You know, it's actually with me. It's, I think it's the first thing to go. But it was interesting the commitment that they had to do. Oh, you know what he said that I remember now? That they don't wear G suits and they pull all these things. And I'm thinking, okay, you're 18 inches at the closest point in the Blue Angels from the other guy. What if you pass out? But they just don't. And he just said the G suits are uncomfortable and I don't know how many G's they pull. How can you not wear a G suit?
I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of why they don't, but I know the Thunderbirds do.
Okay. We'll leave it at that.
Yep. I'll leave it at that.
Maybe it's a little macho thing.
Yep.
Yeah. I had a question. I know you said that these, these air shows and, you know, they just keep getting smaller and smaller, but how many air shows across the country, such as yours are being held? I mean, I have no clue. I mean, I'm oblivious to it. So, I mean, I have no idea whatsoever. I mean, I know, like Mark says, we have this thing here on the south side of Chicago, CLOW. You have Oshkosh that comes here. I just don't know how many shows like this that you have around here in the country.
Well, that's a great question. And roughly, there's about 300 to 325 air shows across North America every year.
Well, I didn't think it would be that high. I mean, there's just so much preparation, I think, to put something like that together. I think that's like almost one every day.
And with winter, I mean, they aren't happening. That's more than that. If you take out half the country, the north part,
right?
There's not many air shows in the winter, I wouldn't think.
Yeah. That's correct. They typically start off in mid-March and the season's over with by the first weekend in November, depending on where the shows are at.
Wow. So that's, from 3 to 11, that's 8 months to get 325 shows in.
Now realize, a lot of these shows could be nothing more than little fly-ins and stuff, but they're still, by definition, a show. There's a bunch of shows. Now they are reducing in numbers because of the situation out there nowadays with the dollar bill. And I certainly understand, you know, why that's happening. And of course, you know, with the military now, their footprint starting to, you know, go backwards a little bit. That's not helping the industry situation. But, you know, we still were running about 300 strong right now today.
Yeah, that's like Alex said, a pretty amazing number. I had the pleasure of sitting in. I assume you've heard of the Lima Lima team out of.
Yep. I know a couple of the guys on the team, in fact.
I was asked, I happen to know one was in part of a fractional program with one of the guys, and got to fly in a little 4th of July parade in the Chicagoland area over on the Indiana side. That was my first time to ever sit in one of those. I thought that was a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
You guys, see, that's what you should do, is now start to offer rides in the back of these things, not necessarily aerobatics, but formation flying stuff. Maybe there's some additional revenue source and get people involved with.
Well, we're already doing that. If you fish around on the website, we're already doing airplane rides at our show, similar to that with the, Hueys, the Cobra, and then I've got some other airplanes that are available, you know, that are less crazy flying. But, yeah, we're already, putting our toe in the water doing more of that with the shows that I'm playing around with.
Is there good interest?
Absolutely, especially in the Huey. We the people are just lined up like they are in the kettle corn line, you know, trying to get lemonade and kettle corn. the same way they are with the Huey ride. Now the Cobra ride is really the best ride, but that's pretty pricey. But we do real well with like the DC-3, the C-47s, and any of the bombers, you know, like the B-17, B-25s. We can, you know, pump out quite a few rides over the course of the week with those. The P-51s and stuff like that, they're pretty pricey, but the other ones are fairly affordable, you know, to most of the families out there to go to air shows.
The Yankee Lady, I'm looking at her now.
Yep, she's a beautiful airplane.
What's the Yankee Lady?
It's the B-17, one of the ones that they have here. He's got a section on the website for under attractions, and you go to Warbird Rides, and he has the Huey on there, and then the Cobra, and pictures of the aircraft that will take you up. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, there was, we have a tour. I mean, there's so many organizations. I shouldn't say that. It feels like there's many, but probably just a few came through with, B-17, I think a B-24 and a P-51. The P-51 was over like $2,000 a ride. It's like $2,200.
No, I thought it was like $1,475.
No, I think the, no.
Yeah,
they're pretty pricey.
They're pretty pricey, but.
Yes, they are.
It's still one of those bucket list items. You just say, maybe I'm not, like you say, a stay vacation or staycation.
That's correct.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm looking at this Cobra and it's pretty bad. Bleep. You know, it's, looking at it. I mean, it's nice.
Where's my beep button?
Yeah, I'll do it myself, but it's, looks like a nice chopper to go in.
It is. The Army Aviation Foundation, which is just south of us here, in Atlanta, they bring the birds up and they maintain them. We have a lot of resources close by where I live, so that eases the pain of getting the birds to the shows.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, is this something, you said you've had quite the career in the Air Force at 37 years, and I mean, you sound like a young man, you look like a young man. Is this something that's going to be going on for a while, or is this one of those items that you just want to get off the ground and envision somebody else taking the reins here in the near future?
You know, right now I figure I'm 50, I'll be 57 next month, and I figure I've got at least a good 10 years of piss and vinegar left in me.
I love it.
We'll see how that goes. Obviously, I can't keep the pace that I've been keeping forever. But I think I've got ADHD and just never knew it.
Well, we all do. Usually Al Waterloo and I sit in this room and we're talking. We got a view out here, a window onto the runway, and an airplane goes by and we both just kind of stop talking and look outside.
Yeah. It's just a great world, around the airplanes and around those type of people. And you just never meet a stranger doing it. It's what I like about it.
Yeah. So if someone wants to go to the Wings Over North Georgia, so that's in Rome, where would they fly into if they took the airlines? Where are you compared to some of the major airports?
Well, the beautiful thing about where we're at, we're in right in the middle of what they call the ABC Triangle. That's Atlanta, Birmingham, and Chattanooga. So any one of those three airports are convenient to get to Rome. So that's the really neat thing about where we're at up there in northwest Georgia.
Yeah, that sounded kind of funny. I want to go to Rome, so I'm going to fly into Atlanta.
and how far of a drive is that from those three airports?
It's probably about an hour 15 from the actual airport to Rome. From Chattanooga, it's about 50 minutes. And from Birmingham, it's probably about the same amount, about an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay.
It's very, it's all good interstates. The road system in and out of Rome is just, we're very blessed to have that facility there. And it's just gorgeous, North Georgia hills at the beginning of the Appalachian Mountains.
Wow, it sounds great. Actually, might be, Alex, what do you think? A little flyout?
I was going to suggest it, but, since you did it, that's fine. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind at all. I'm so close to Oshkosh, I never go there. I have to go someplace farther probably to get somewhere.
Yeah, well, it's funny. We see all these, we talk about Oshkosh here, and John, it's like a 2-hour drive for us, yet we fly because it's fun.
Yep.
And when we hear about all the people that come not only from around the country, but around the world, so flying to an air show is not that far-fetched.
No, it's not. And that's one of the reasons I've been trying to increase the footprint of doing that with general aviation with the fly-in piece, because I think there's a huge market out there. You got this, the spring version with Sun and Fun. We just finished up with a summer version of Oshkosh. Why not have a fall Rome version?
There you go. And again, my hope is that someday we're going to find someone like yourself, if not you, bringing something to Chicago that's this, you know, complete turnkey package of a complete family event with cars, with food, with airplanes, just kind of a fun family time, not just saying, come and watch an airplane do a barrel roll.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to keep eating this elephant, so to speak, one bite at a time. We're trying to crawl, walk, and run, but it seems like I've gone from crawling to trotting. I never got to walk, so we'll see how it all works out.
Perfect. Well, John, we really appreciate you taking some time out of your evening. You're in the East time zone, so it's after 10 o'clock there. It sounds like some really exciting things that you're doing, and as we mentioned to you previously, we're looking for people that are really re-energizing general aviation, and I think that's exactly what you're doing with Wings Over North Georgia.
Hey, I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to come on tonight and do a little yapping with y'all. It's been a lot of fun and very educational for me now that I know you guys are there. I'll start tuning in every week. One of the things I do want to end with, though, I lost my dad last month. And today's his birthday is why I chose today to do this interview. So happy birthday, Dad.
There you go. Yeah, certainly our thoughts and prayers are with you. And, you know, my daughter-in-law's grandmother just died. And I just went through some conversation with her about, you know, it's the memories never go, right? That person's always there. So certainly I hope you have many pleasant memories to take you through all these days, and life goes on, as they say.
That's correct. And again, guys, Alec, Mark, appreciate your time tonight. I hope we can do it again.
We will, very much. And hopefully, when is the show? Let's tell us, end with that, and so maybe we can get some people down there and meet you.
It's October 12th and 13th of this year at the Rome Richard B. Russell Regional Airport, which is otherwise called Towers Field. It's named after Admiral Towers, which was he's been given the title of Father of Naval Aviation, but that was the named after him. But it's KRMG is the identifier, and it's going to be 2 days of action-packed fun. If you're going to fly in, you may want to come in on Friday and get you an airplane camping spot or a hotel room. We can hook you up, but I'd love to meet you guys in person.
That'd be great. Okay, so that's October 12th and 13th. K. Romeo Mike Golf and WingsOverNorthGeorgia.com, right?
You got it, man. That's great.
All right. Have a great evening, and thank you for spending some time with us.
Talk to you soon. See you now.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Good night.
Good night.
There we go. Wow.
Yeah, the website, you know, has I've just been fishing through it here the last 15 minutes. And
I noticed you were pretty busy over there.
Yeah, if there's a question that you have, it's on here, from sponsorships to vendors, guest info. I mean, it's all on here. I mean, it's pretty, I can see why he's so busy, you know, putting this event together for this weekend, this deal that he puts together for 2 days. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here, and the attractions, and, here's something that was kind of cool for the guest info. You know, you have these private chalets that they have there, and, you know, they can accommodate as small as, you were talking about a flyout.
Yeah.
And they can accommodate as small as, 20 people. And, you know, guests, 20 guests, semi-private, $1,700. And, you know.
1,700 bucks for all 20?
For all 20 people.
Wow, that's cheap.
Yeah. So, I mean, what, $100 would be 2,000. So under, you know, yeah, it's less than that. And, you got these private chalets, concierge style service again, reserve airport parking. If you fly in there, sure, you get to park your plane, general admission entry, show line seating.
Well, if you show your plane.
Yeah, show
you,
line
seating. You don't have to pay the general admission.
Yeah, you want your tent.
You want your tent, that's
you want,
right.
You want your tent. You know, premium food and beverage service, and again, restroom facilities.
Woohoo!
You know, so it's,
toilet paper.
Yeah, toilet paper. enclosed dining and relaxation area. I mean, it's pretty neat. I mean, it's got a lot of stuff on here venue map, everything. It's pretty,
WingsOverNorthGeorgia.com. Yeah, spend some time on that. You know, October 12th and 13th, I might just see if we can't get a couple airplanes to go out there.
Yeah, it's not it wouldn't be a bad deal.
Because I don't go to Sun and Fun. I don't go to AOPA Summit. I don't go, I'm disappointed as much as a GA activist and enthusiast that I claim to be, I go to Oshkosh.
Yeah.
And some of the local shows. I don't really stretch my wings, so to speak.
This isn't the bad flight either. When I was looking to, even go down to the Smoky Mountains or something. I mean, this is probably a 4-hour flight or something like that for us, you know, to get down there. I think it's, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's got to be roughly in that area there. So I think it's real, doable, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, I do it.
Well, and actually, as we saw, or we talked about in the Long Easy, you could do that round trip and with one tank of gas.
The Long Easy. You got me watching the YouTube videos on that now.
You know what? I have two, and I'm kind of disappointed in the YouTube videos. I don't know why. I think they could have done a better job with those.
Yeah.
You get some other ones that have some really nice videos.
I didn't even know that airplane existed, but it looks a little tight for me.
Well, I saw one today, and I have to agree with you. But maybe I'm just being a wuss. I'm sure the people that fly them say they're the greatest things. Cirrus Speeds with like an Piper Warrior engine with Piper Warrior fuel burns and 1400 some nautical mile endurance. Right. My bladder wouldn't go that far.
Absolutely not.
Not especially at my age.
There's no doubt. and mine as well. I mean, I'm 43, but I mean, I feel like I'm there.
Nah.
But he's got everything on the site. I mean, even if you go to lodging and, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 10 places to choose from. And then there's even this one called the Claremont House, which is kind of like a better, look, check this out. This bed and breakfast place. It's kind of cool looking.
Wow. It is.
Yeah. So
Claremont
House. Yeah. So it's pretty neat. I think this would be a great trip to get the guys together. You know, not necessarily, a multi-club thing, but definitely, you know, with everybody here. I mean, I don't see why you can't grab 20 guys, you know, with multiple aircrafts and.
Or grab 10 guys or 9 guys and rent the Pilatus.
Yeah, you can
split
do that
the
too.
Cost, but that wouldn't be as much fun.
That's not.
You got to go in a
because everybody. Because what happens with that is everybody fights for the right seat.
Yeah,
see, because when I chartered with my buddy, he has no interest in sitting in the front, so I did. You know,
it's kind of like getting a partnership going in an airplane with someone that doesn't fly; they just want to own part of an airplane.
Right.
So they pay a third of the cost or a quarter of the cost, and never use it.
And then he just says, "I sit in the back."
Yeah, whatever turns them out, everyone wins on that one.
Right.
So Geico Skytypers are on board for 2013 Wings Over North Georgia. Have you seen the Geico Skytypers?
No, but because you said Geico, I actually have a question.
Okay.
When we were flying into Racine today, and maybe you can answer this for me, I don't know. Last weekend when we were in the condo in the city, we were riding our bikes on the lake and saw the Piper Cubs that were flying by with the, when they pull the banner.
Right.
And
right.
When I was landing at, Racine, I was coming in on runway, I was left downwind, whatever runway I was coming in on, the Cub was announcing himself that he was taking off and he's going to do a banner pickup. Now, he did take off, but he didn't have no banner with him, but I guess he comes back around.
Right. It hangs, between two poles.
All right. And I couldn't see it. And so my family and I, we landed and I told my daughter, I said, here, you always wanted to see how this works. You know, and so
did you, didn't you?
Yeah. I'm not even going to tell you what I thought, how they did this. I thought that this guy's just laying on the runway. He connects it to the back somehow and it just takes off. You know, I mean, I had no clue.
With a drag sheet on the back.
Yeah, I mean, I have no clue.
Yeah. I've never done it. Actually, right. I know a guy that is a commercial pilot, a banner tow pilot. Yeah.
But anyway,
go ahead.
Yeah. And so it was kind of neat to see that. So everybody's announcing themselves and there's another Cirrus coming in as well. It was just kind of neat to see. I just never saw it. And we were out there and, you know, grabbed a courtesy car. We were there, went to the show for three hours or so, came back on the way home. I just wanted to transition from Waukegan's airspace. And so he just kind of announced that banner guy was actually coming back home, and that sort of thing. And I knew it was him because it was the Geico.
Oh, okay.
The Geico banner. That's the only reason why I thought about it, because you said Geico there for a second.
Is that is that rain out there?
Sounds like.
Either that or we got like a lot of, I don't know what we got, but I think that's rain.
Yeah, it sounds like. I don't see anything though, but.
I'm looking for something. See, this is poor. Here we go. That's what it sounds like out
exactly
there.
Exactly sounds like that.
Exactly. So see, we just proved it.
Yeah, so it was cool. It was cool to see that. I never saw that before. That.
So actually, I haven't seen the actual pickup. So you got a Piper Cub, which is not a powerful machine.
No.
And it's coming down, and all of a sudden it's going to pick up this heavy drag. What does it look like? It doesn't look smooth, does
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely not. I mean, I don't see the banner, the pole, where the two poles that you're talking about. I don't see anything. You know, I didn't know where to be looking in the first place. But, you know, he has this nose-up attitude when he's taking off. Like you said, he probably has all this drag. And, I'm not going to say it doesn't look right, you know, but it just, you know.
But it doesn't look right.
Yeah, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't look right. But, you know, and it was a little difficult for me to see it. And then eventually you see the banner and whatnot and, you know, he makes his left turn out, and I don't know. It just, like I said, just doesn't look like it feels natural.
As I thought of different ways to get into aviation, I was thinking, if not banner, you could use to get the, as you still can, the sign, light sign that fits underneath your wings, and it's rolling. You type in what you want it to say.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I thought, oh, that'd be a very cool job, you know, to kind of... only nighttime, but at dusk or something. I guess you can try bright enough you can see it during the day and not have to pull the banner. It might be fun.
I mean, that's another question that I have, actually. And again, I don't expect you the answer, and I don't know if you will know the answer, but it, you know, after the guest that you just had on, and, you know, they kind of go through, you know, their revenue stream about how they make money, and you look at his website and the sponsorships and what it costs to, you know, put stuff in there together, and, you know, you kind of work all year for this one weekend that you have coming up, and you were talking about the airport that sold for probably $2 million or somewhere south of there, and, you know, how does that revenue go? I mean, these banner tow companies, I mean, Geico's there. I mean, what do these people pay them? I mean, I just don't know.
If anyone knows the answer to the question about what banner pilots make, I don't think it's very much. I don't even know what it costs. It's something we could look up.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I was just curious. I mean, I'm sure it's maybe some, I don't know if it's a retired guy or maybe some younger guy and he's just, you know, just, the joy of flying, and he's just pulling this thing around, going up and down the lake shore, going back and forth, and I don't know.
We'll have to get someone. People are hearing my microphone, I have got like a backache because I've been leaning forward the way this is set up. So I see you reclining on that couch, and
I'm almost going to lay down.
Yeah, you are. So I'm going to move this wire and see if I can just lean back. Now I'm more relaxed.
So you're following the Greek.
I am following the Greek, but the problem is this microphone's like probably 10 pounds heavier than what you're doing already. I'm tired holding this thing.
You bought that thing that one day. You wanted to be big, so you bought that professional microphone.
Don't be making any comments. No jokes here at my expense.
Yeah, so it's just so you can hear yourself breathe on that thing. I kid. You know, so
Luke.
So you said I can't remember what you said earlier. Did you say you took the bananas up today for gas?
No, I took the bananas up for gas yesterday. I flew over to Rochelle, RPJ. I always like to give my listeners so they can look it up on their ForeFlight or whatever app they use to see these airports. RPJ, great sky deck, bar and grill, but it's all about skydiving.
That's where he had that flyout that one time.
Yeah, and you show up, and they had a cloud hold, they called it, but all these people milling around waiting for the clouds to break so they can fly to 14,000 feet and jump out of an airplane. But it's a great atmosphere, and if you're, you know, it's a quiet little airport other than everyone on the ground having a great time outside, suiting up. Matter of fact, the big hangar where everyone puts on their chutes and all, they have foosball tables, they have pinball machines, they have bags, games. I mean, it's an event. Just like our guest tonight, John, was talking about, this is not just about, you know, come out and see airplanes do maneuvers. It's an event, a family event. I think that's really key for aviation to kind of get hold of the families and the people that don't spend a lot of time in aviation right now.
All right. Well, I mean, it looks like he's got a nice little deal on the internet about what he throws. goes on over there. And I can see how it could be a lot of fun, especially for somebody, you know, that maybe wants to go to, an Oshkosh or Sun and Fun or whatever the case may be. And again, like you said, it's something in the community in your own backyard that you get to go see. And, but they got nice stuff that they got, that nice show that they throw on.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, when he says, and I don't know if it's specifically about Wings Over North Georgia, but 50 to 100,000 people, it's not a small show.
No, not at all.
I mean, you think of Oshkosh, what is that, supposedly 500,000, which may be down from there. So let's say it's 25, 30% the size of an Oshkosh. That's still a big show for one person and his team.
Yeah.
You know, put on.
And again, it's only 2 days.
Right. It's not a week.
Right. You know, so it's...
I think we should go.
I'll go.
All right. I'll go. You go. We'll get a couple airplanes. We'll take the SR-22. That'd be a great one to go down on.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's got any YouTube videos out there on it.
Oh, there's gotta be something.
There's gotta be. YouTube is everything.
Yeah. I mean, there's gotta be something on it. There's no doubt. No doubt. Where's the Dakota today? I didn't see it here earlier.
Alright, so this is for our audience. We have got a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Dakota. New engine, new prop, new interior, new exterior. And it's been snake bitten by stuff, you know, it's like silly things. So it goes into annual, a couple things they got to fix. Some of it inflicted by previous mechanics, we'll just say it that way.
Okay.
And then, the grease fitting on the prop hub, they go to, it was over torqued and as they were, you know, I don't know what mechanics do with grease fittings, but they tried to get it out or something and it broke.
Oh man.
And so they sent it over to a prop shop, a special prop shop, and they know how to work on props and put blades on, but evidently they don't know how to drill out grease fittings on prop hubs. But, I guess they drilled it out and now it's got to go back to the manufacturer to make sure that the thing is to specs. Otherwise we need a new hub.
Right.
So it's okay. Wait a minute. The thing works. It's fine. And then it breaks, you know, while someone's taking it out.
It's like when we sent our plane.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell me about that again.
And then they break everything and then they replace everything. It's just like, okay, nuts, absolutely nuts. But what are you going to do? And then we
that's like this.
Yeah. And
it's not just rain. That's a thunderstorm.
Yeah, it's thunderstorm. Thunderstorm.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't know. You're getting pretty good with that.
I love that.
Yeah. That's your Huey.
There's my Huey. And that's the pilot I know.
Sounds like you got to change a diaper.
Yeah.
So the other club member that came with the Archer, where'd he come from today?
He went to Sac City, S-A-C City, Iowa. Get this. I love this story. I love to see how people use GA aircraft, right? So he... is at our dog day afternoon, which was actually a dog day morning, which is nothing more than cook hot dogs in the hangar and have 40 of my favorite people come over. And he said, boy, there's looks like some weather, but my friend has to go to an event that's like a 2 or 3 hour event, and it's a 12-hour drive. Actually, I guess it's faster than that, so maybe round trip, let's say it's 12 to 15 hours. He's going to go for a 2 or 3 hour event. So he had the Dakota.
And not spend the night?
He would have driven last night.
Okay.
And then gone there for a noon arrival and then come back at 3 and get home, you know, whatever, in the middle of the night. So he's supposed to take the Dakota, and then the Dakota didn't come out of annual. So he got in the Archer, had a heck of a headwind. He probably got frustrated watching the cars go faster than him. He 7 hour round trip, a little less, did some diversions around some weather, which is always a good experience. And, so it was nice. Then I got to see the airplane really use it for something other than $100 hamburger.
Right. No such thing, but still.
Yeah, right. $142 hamburger or whatever it is, $200 and $300. If you split the cost, man, it's only,
you should do that. You gotta split it.
So I shouldn't buy a long easy because it's too tight. What should we buy?
Hmm.
Things that make you go, hmm.
Well, like I told you, I like everything, which is my problem. But everybody knows that about me. I mean, I bring my wife out here today. We go to, like I said, Racine, and they just were pulling the Cirrus out of the hangar, and we were just kind of looking around. I was looking to see if the V-tail was here so she can take a peek at it, but it wasn't.
I still owe her a flight. Sonia, if you're listening, I definitely want to go flying with you on that V-tail. You'll really like it.
Yeah, she sat in the back when we were out here a few weeks ago, and she said she likes the back seat, and because that's her spot. She's the one that likes to say, "I sit in the back." And, but she looked at the twin Bonanza that was out here and,
beautiful Baron, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. The Baron, I'm sorry. And, you know, she looked at it and she was just like, now this looks like, she just loves the screws, the rivets, and, you know, she just loves the way that all looks. And,
A friend of mine owns that and, he flies with his wife. Obviously he sits in the front. And she doesn't sit next to him. She sits in the back because of the club seating. She just says it's so comfortable.
Right.
And they fly not short trips. There, it's New York to Chicago, Chicago to Dallas. And it's just, that's her thing. And her chauffeur, I guess, is her husband.
Right.
Who flies that thing. So they met again, another set of people that make just great use out of the aircraft.
Right. That's a nice plane. And, you know, but then that's a whole other, whole other rating. And, you know, I like to do that. I still would like to learn how to fly, a twin. I know when I flown our friend's 310 over here one day, and it was, you know, it's just a nice plane.
Yeah.
And it's just really the trips that get cut down so short, like across the pond. I mean, when I went to Mackinac Island with my family, and I think it was a 5-hour round trip back and forth, you know, which is great because, you know, it's doable in a day and you can go spend your time and see what you want, not have to spend the night there, come back in your own bed. But I remember with him, it was 2 hours. It was 50 minutes one way, an hour 10 on the other way. And, you know, it's just a great, yeah, I know they're more expensive to run, but when you take trips like that over the pond, I mean, it's just like, you know.
But see, to me, that's where you, if you can find one and you have the, you know, confidence in it, that's to rent, not to own. Personal opinion, I have not gotten my twin rating because all I hear about is tough to stay proficient.
Yeah.
And if I can't afford to stay proficient, then why do it? As much fun as it would be, I would rather use that money to fly more single engine and stay proficient there, if you will.
No, I hear you.
Although I do want to get my seaplane rating. See, that way then you can fly over the water because you're always within that gliding distance of.
Yeah. There was a place somewhere northwest of here, and I don't know if I was at Lake in the Hills or I was somewhere where I actually took a, I think it was Lake in the Hills. There was somebody that actually, or maybe it was Rochelle. I'm not really sure, but there was some place where they actually offered that rating that was somewhere.
There's one over in the Mississippi, and there's one that used to be, in Michigan on the lakeside, of course. I can't remember it. Matter of fact, there's one in Traverse City because our friend that owns the V-tails wanted to go up there and we'd all spend some time and get.
Didn't you guys do that?
No, he had a change in schedule.
Oh, okay.
And that actually was, we're going to go and each get a flight. We didn't know if we'd all have time to get the actual rating. So
yeah,
it's one of those bucket list items. Another one to add.
Well, at least it's a lot closer.
Yeah. Well, but who cares if it's longer? It just means you get to fly more.
As opposed to going to like, somewhere. Where did Alga his? Wasn't his down in Florida?
It was. Matter of fact, I was just talking to another, at least former member, and I love this gentleman because he just keeps more ratings and more ratings. He earned his living as an executive at a university, a major university, and now he's teaching at a university. He was going to buy a glider. He got all these ratings with the gliders, with the twins, the da-da-da. No, he's going to get his twin rating. He's going down to Florida. There's a place that flies that air cam. Have you seen the air cam? It's open cockpit. Looks like a little boat with these two engines.
Okay.
Air cam. AIRCAM. You'll have to look it up.
Yeah, I will.
And I'm sure it probably burns about half a gallon an hour or something like that. I mean, it's really dinky. But he said he'd get a twin rating in it. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that is.
Delta, I'm going to have to check out, but someplace in Florida. So we'll see. I'll get in touch with him, make sure that he follows through on that.
Yeah.
But my next thing that is out of the quote-unquote ordinary for me is I've been saying I was going to take a glider ride, and already we're to August, and I haven't done it. So I've got to find time in the next, let's say, 30 days to go out to Huntley or whatever. And
is that where, I don't even know where they – is that where it's at?
I think there's a place in Huntley. There's one south and one west. And, you know, take a lesson. I think you have to join the club for a day.
Insurance purposes.
Yeah, for insurance purposes, yeah. But I understand these guys, you know, you drop someone a few bucks, they tow you up, and then everything else is free. The retired guys that do the CFI stuff for you, you know, take you up, give you a lesson.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool. Get my stick and rudder skills back in order.
What was the, you know, you were talking about the plane with SR-22 speeds and sipping gas, and you guys had a guest on the show a while back that he was burning 6.5 gallons an hour or something, and who was that? Was it a Lance Air that he was?
No, 6.5 gallons, and I wonder if is that the guy from the West Coast, that young man that had a 140, Cherokee 140?
No.
I don't remember.
There was a guest that you guys had on there. I forgot what business he was in, but that was the plane that he had. And I remember I was sitting in one day when you and Al were there, and I just couldn't remember what it was. It was experimental.
Yeah.
But I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. So did you get a lottery ticket, this Powerball that those three people won for $480 million or whatever it was?
I didn't even know that was that much. I wasn't paying attention.
See, at that point, and to me, it's worth the price of admission. You pay the money, you get the ticket, and until I lose, I dream about what I do with it. And truly, I think about which disease I'd cure, right? We all got an ego, so wouldn't that be cool? And then it goes right to the airplanes, right? So I've talked to Al about the other Al. You know, someone gave you $500 million, even if you take half of that for taxes or whatever. What do you buy?
You know, that's a lot different number than what you used to talk about in the past.
Well, yeah, we used to say, what if you won $1 million?
Right.
Now we're talking enough you could buy a $23 million Gulfstream and pay the whatever operating costs for a few years before you sold it.
Yeah, I'd probably do a VLJ.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Well, like an Eclipse?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of people. I've got three people, a dog, and a future dog coming. So, I mean, it's just, I don't need much room.
Yeah, but that, it's just for getting to, although the Eclipse, I think, is 41,000 feet.
Yeah,
so many of them are 25,000.
And that's gas up there up in Cruz.
Yeah.
I think it's something like, isn't it like 39 gallons an hour or something like that?
I think that's right.
It's 36, something silly.
Some number that's not too far out of the, like, wow.
Right.
See, I keep thinking, and again, if you can afford that plane, you can probably afford the fuel, but I keep coming back to these beautiful King Air 200s. Even a 90 for a personal airplane would be great. The Pilatus, great. A Meridian, fine. A TBM. I mean, if you want to go places fast, the TBM 850 with the 850 horse or an Eclipse and my Citation 10.
Get yourself that C90 and do that. What is it, that Black Hawk conversion that they do? I think it's a conversion that they do. I think it's called the Black Hawk, but don't quote me on it. I would have to look it up again.
All right.
And that when we charted the Pilatus, they had one like that on the ramp, and the guy was saying that's just such a hot rod when you put those motors on it and that sort of thing. So it was pretty cool. There was one that was out there, so he was kind of showing it to me. But I don't even know what the hell's going on there. I mean, it's just I'm not flying anything like that at this point. So.
Yeah, no, I was thinking for each mission, because I go to Cedar Rapids, right, 165 nautical miles, 170. I don't need a Citation 10 for that. But if I had the money, and I've spent a little YouTube time watching these Gulfstreams with the automatic sliding door into the bedroom and all this, you know, a little West Coast, Hawaii.
Are you sitting in back now?
Oh, that's true. I wouldn't be.
So that's the whole thing.
Yeah. What am I talking about?
I don't know. You're making everybody comfortable about yourself.
No. Well, you could take your friends and family. I don't know.
Yes, you could.
I'm just dreaming here. Let me dream.
Yeah. Hire a pilot.
I am a pilot. I love flying.
So you can sit him back.
Yeah. Well, they'll make sure they have controls in the back. It's kind of tandem seating and something that's like hundreds of feet long or something. Maybe not.
Never know.
Yeah. Would you ever want to fly a drone? You know, and like all of a sudden you're doing the same thing and but you're not up in the sky. That's a jet. That's not weather.
Yeah, no, I was taking a look just to kind of make sure, and that's what it was. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know nothing about that stuff either.
Neither do I, but I watch these guys on the news shows, and they're just sitting down at a table, and it looks like a flight simulator.
Yeah, it's probably exactly what it is.
Yeah, exactly. That's why the young kids are able to do it.
How is that simulator here? I haven't tried that yet.
It's good. We just have to show you how to use it. A lot of people don't know. We have a touch trainer here for those listeners that are asking. And those that aren't, we have a touch trainer. Flythesim.com. It's pretty neat. And you can log time on it toward a rating, either private or instrument, or you can use it for currency.
Yeah.
And the configurable panels, so we can pretty much make it look like any of the airplanes in the club. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I saw Waterloo working with somebody back there a couple of weeks ago. And I know my partner, yeah, he's always using it. And, you know, he kind of expressed how much he liked it, but I just haven't toyed with it yet, to be honest. So I went to the website, you know, and it looked like it looked pretty nice.
It is. And, you know, the thing that I like about the Sims these days, and, you know, you mentioned Waterloo, he has an account with Pilot Edge, another former guest, and there you're using live ATC when you're on it, right? And then you look on your iPad, and it links up with the software we have. So now we are seeing our airplane flying on the West Coast on our iPad talking to an actual human being.
Oh, cool.
You look tired, my friend.
I'm all right.
Yeah, it's not too.
What happened was when we came back from Racine, every time I go flying, I'm starving. So then, we went out, we couldn't decide what we wanted to eat, and we ended up we were going to stop over here at the airport, Tuscany, down here in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. but they didn't open until 4, and we landed about 3. So then we went to, this place, Hacienda, not far from the house, this Mexican restaurant, and I think I had a margarita as big as my head. And, you know, and I was just, and, you know, I was just, it was, maybe I just wanted a large one, so I was a slob about it, and I think it ended up giving me a headache on top of it. And
you didn't have any food. You're just taking alcohol right into the system.
Yeah, and my daughter has her permit. She hasn't went in to get her license yet, so I gave her the keys. I said, "You're driving," I said, because I'm in no mood, no condition.
Good, smart man.
And neither was my wife, because she had one as well. And
that's scary.
Yeah,
teenage daughter.
Driving two drunk parents around.
A designated driver. That's
pretty
amazing.
Going to her aunt's house to pick up our dog. You know, so it's, kind of comical. But, I guess that permanent verse comes in handy.
There you go. Yeah. I can just see it now. Give your kid a permit. Go get drunk.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's advertising.
Yeah, it works.
It works indeed.
I mean, she's not drinking, so.
So what's on your flying schedule for upcoming? Let's get back to flying. That's what our audience wants to hear. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah. You know, I don't know yet this week. You know, I'm going to have to take a look, and I don't, you know, work. I think I have a couple more days here that might be a little busy. And then, I know we're going to go out to Oregon to pick up the dog in a couple of weeks, I think, probably.
Oregon,
Illinois.
Is that where the Byron nuclear power plant is?
Yeah.
Everyone calls it Byron, and I think it's Oregon. Everyone tells me, no, it's Byron.
Yeah, I think that's right, but that's how I can tell when I drive up there. You know, I see that, and I actually see it when I fly west, obviously.
Oh, man, that's my wife's favorite landmark, the nuclear power plant.
Yeah.
The twin towers and the smoke that comes out of it.
Right. So it's up towards that way. So I was looking at some airports, and I found something in the suburb next door, and it appears to be about, I don't know, maybe several miles from where I got to get to. So.
Is that not Rock Falls?
No, I got to look
it's
it up.
Rockford or something.
Well, it's
south of Rockford.
Yeah, it's southeast of, well, no, it's southwest of Rockford here. Right. I'm going to kind of take a look it up. I think there's one actually closer, but it's a grass strip, and I never landed on a grass strip. So,
well, and don't just go with closeness. And this is kind of advice to people listening. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to disparage a specific airport, but I was going to a city and they had one that had commercial traffic and then the private airport. private airport was closer to where I was going, so I said, I'll just do that. And yet I had heard someone say, you know what, you don't want to go to that airport. And I said, well, it's hard surface. It'll be fine. And it was not fine. It was a runway that wasn't level. It was very narrow. It was in just really bad condition. They didn't even know how to chalk an airplane there.
Really?
You know, the people that worked there. And so I eventually just said, you know what, I'm going to pay the extra for a rental car or for gas or whatever and go to the farther away airport.
Yeah, not good. Let's see here. It's called, the airport I think that's closest is...
I'm so excited. I can't wait. Hurry.
Ogle County.
Ogle?
Yeah, C-55, but it's grass, so that's not going to work.
No.
So I have to go south of there to Dixon,
home of Dixon, the boyhood home. Isn't that the boyhood home of Ronald Reagan?
I don't know. Dixon, Walgreen, Charlie 73.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, Dixon, Illinois. So,
when are you doing that?
I don't know. It's going to be, probably in a couple weeks or so. Here's the other thing. I think there's another airport further south. SQI Sterling.
Yeah. Now that's a great airport.
That's the one where I go to because the farmer that we get some stuff from is out there. So they drive the Elgin once a month and we'll pick up our meat from her and stuff. If not, you know, I fly out there.
Sterling Rock Falls is a great airport to practice approaches at.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah. They got a little airport like that. It's got a back course, GPS, and an ILS, right? So you can do one of those I do the ILS 25, come off the other end, do a 180, do the back course 7, come around and do the GPS 25. So it's very neat. And if you want to use ATC, you can work with Rockford. Otherwise, you just roll your own, as they say.
Okay.
So it's really efficient and it's a great little airport. I drive by there when I drive to Iowa. Because it's right off Interstate 88 right there, 1836 runway.
Yeah, so that's where we go once in a blue moon. And then she has an open house on her farm, so we go there. And they got the, I don't know if you ever use, they got nice courtesy car, nice minivan.
There you go.
So, you know, it's cool.
Go to twingardenfarms.com.
Twin Garden Farms?
Yeah. That's the Mirai corn, and it should be about ready. And that's out at Dacey Airport. Which is three grass strips, just wonderful and the best corn you can ever want.
I heard you mention those guys.
Yeah,
before.
You actually do not even need to cook the corn. They just give you a stalk, you peel back the leaves and eat it right there, and you can't believe how sweet it is. And then if you decide when you get home to cook some, whether it's on the barbecue or in the water or in the microwave, it's just absolutely wonderful.
Hmm.
Twin Garden Farms, and for those listening, you can actually get it from at some of the farmers' markets, but I like just going right to the farm there and getting it fresh.
Yeah. Hey, where is Waterloo this week anyway?
He is coming back from doing some work for Cirrus, and so I talked to him in a traffic jam, and I said, you know what, you could make it here by the time the show started, but he had to drop people off, he had to do some things, he's got a 6 a.m. departure with his King Air job. So.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate you sitting in tonight. I know you weren't necessarily prepared for it, so.
Oh, it's okay. He had texted me. I didn't really talk to him much. He just said, can you do the show, you know, kind of co-host with Mark? And I said, yeah, that's fine. I said, but,
You know what's crazy?
Hmm.
He asked you that. He never told me.
Yeah. And
so I get a note from you that says, I'm your host. And I said, what? What are you talking about? And then all of a sudden he says, oh, by the way, Alex is going to do the show. I can't make it. I'm in traffic.
Yeah. Yeah, funny. Yeah, so like I said, I didn't talk to him much just because I was getting up in the air and this and that, so I didn't know what was going on, so it was, what was he doing? Was he delivering another plane for
I think so. Actually, I haven't had much chance to talk with him.
Yeah.
We gotta do, you know, that Where's Waldo? We gotta do Where's Waldorloo? Waldorloo, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds
he just kinda disappears, you know, he's gonna be doing something each week with aviation. When I grow up, I wanna be like Al Waterloo.
If you do it over again, you can.
Nah, actually, I think what I'm doing is fine.
Yeah,
but he's done a lot of cool aviation things, flying that Cirrus down to Chile.
Chile.
Doing the King Air thing, flying new Cirruses, flying old airplanes, doing traffic in Chicago, doing competition from when he's at the University of Illinois.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of cool things.
No, that's neat. Hey, who was the and the radio show last week you were mentioning.
On the regular show. You mean with the regular host?
Yeah, with the regular host when Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon are there together.
Yeah.
I think there was a gentleman you were talking about whose wife bought the Cirrus Turbo.
Uh-huh.
That's in the hangar next door because I took a little night flight, one night about a week or so ago and she was in the pattern here and, I think just doing some landings and that sort of thing. And it was kind of funny because it was actually really busy out here. I mean, it was already after 10 p.m. I was over Frankfurt actually, and then I was working my way. It was over there, and I was working my way back. And this King Air comes in, Citation comes in, this Lear comes in, another King Air comes in. She's like in the mix of this, trying to get through here, you know, just kind of like letting people through. But I heard this woman's voice, and so I just didn't. And I recognized the tale just because I saw it in the hangar next door. So I didn't know who that was. And I think. Was it somebody on the show that you had?
It was a gentleman that was kind of coming through and was up in the clubhouse. Oh, no, he called, this flythesim.com, called them and said he'd like to see what it looks like.
Okay.
And they said, we've got one that you can see right at the airport there. And so he came up, and that's when he said to me, yeah, my wife just bought that new turbo out there. I said, well, and he keeps referring to it as my wife's plane. I said, well, you guys are married. It's like your plane, right?
Right, right.
And I said, no, she's earned every penny. I always continue to make sure she gets the credit for her business success, that she bought the plane. I get to fly it, but it's her plane.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is cool. I just want to make sure I get you into, when you get into an additional plane, because you'll have your 20 forever, and get you into NASDAQ or something like that. That's what I'm waiting to see.
Yeah, I was what I do is when I get away from the controller and then I go back, let's say 3 weeks later, and I just kind of look to see what new pops up. And it's kind of I just love doing that.
Well, it's kind of like, I don't know if you did it, but certainly I did. I would take catalogs from whether it was Radio Shack or something electronic, because I always like that stuff. Say, okay, I play this game. I was given $500. What would you buy for $500? And I'd go through the catalog, and I'll take two of these, one of these, and okay, that adds up to $500. I do the same thing with controller. If I could get one airplane, which one would I take?
Yeah, the nice thing about, I shouldn't say nice, but the advantage of, like, the Aztec is kind of like what you guys were talking about a couple weeks ago about flying, let's say how you can fly in the cheap. And again, that's not a cheap plane as far as the fuel burns go, but depending if you were to do something by yourself, if you're able to afford it, or if you had a partnership with a couple other guys, you can find some of those planes relatively cheap. And, the outlay costs for, three guys can get together at $20,000 a piece. And I know guys that sold Aztecs for $50,000.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you just can't get rid of them things. And, and that's just kind of how that twin market is right now, I think. I think it's pretty depressed, and there's some great deals out there.
There's some great deals, but again, you mentioned the operating costs and all this. But what I don't know what you call it, but I just, as much as I love the Aztecs and Navajos, or actually Navajo, to my point, will actually fit, I want cabin class. I don't want my passengers to have to walk up a wing.
Yeah.
Even on the 310, you got the nice little step, so it's easy.
Right.
But something about even a little Mirage or something like that, even a Lance or an A36, those are great airplanes because they get the passenger goes in. I don't know what it is. It's just a little
right.
fantasy type thing, right? Where you feel like you're running an airline or flying an airliner.
No, it's nice. Yeah. That A36 is nice. It's nice having those side doors and to get into.
That Baron, you're welcome to, when you see it, he doesn't mind if you get in it.
Right.
Put Sonya in the back of that and she'll be hooked.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
I always had a thing like for the baby Baron just because, cost wise and, even speed wise, they're a little bit quicker. as well. But, you know, she had mentioned today when she was with my daughter, and she's just like, well, Lexi's not going to be sitting up in front with you. She's going to be sitting in back with me with the dogs. And she's like, we're going to put our feet up. So I'm just like, oh, okay. So now you want the club seating. So that means you need the bigger one, you know, so I just kind of, it's just kind of comical.
Absolutely.
But, you know, who knows? I mean, we'll see what happens. And, you know, one thing at a time. I mean, now that, you know, my mom, like I told you, she's in the assisted living. Her place is sold now. So I just got a couple more things to tie up with on that end. And then I'm basically done for about, you know, the next eight to 10 months with that till there's some other thing I have to do once I get to that point. But I got to get back in the saddle again and start doing my training again because I kind of just kind of fell by the wayside here. And, you know, but, oh well, what are you going to do? It'll happen, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, okay, we've got just a few more minutes left. I can't believe it's gone that fast. I'm already thinking about getting prepped for work tomorrow. I don't normally do that, focus on aviation. So in terms of any other – actually, I already asked you about flights you're going to do this next week.
I don't know yet. I mean, I want to go – I want to do something. I'll probably just get out there just to – zip around a little bit, and
I'm going to be your safety pilot. You're going to go up and practice approaches. You are so close. You go down to Arizona and back. You practice all the way. I'm saying knock it out.
I know. I'm lazy.
You are lazy.
I'm lazy.
You're, as my daughter-in-law says about my son, he's the hardest-working lazy man she knows.
And I go take that three-day course for the written.
Did you take the written?
No, but I took the course. But I just never went back to take the written.
And that, when does that expire?
That's probably, I'll probably do the same thing that I did with my private. I think I went like 2 weeks before it expired or a week before.
Two whole weeks. Wow. So you're ahead of the game.
Yeah. You know, so it's, that's just how it was. Even like when I went for my real estate broker's license, I waited like a week before I needed to get it done. You know, I took all the classes and, you know, didn't take the test till, and then I just kind of like cram it all over again.
Why do today what you can put off till tomorrow?
Do it all the time.
You and everybody else, Mr. Procrastinator.
Yeah. I'm terrible. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's the deal.
All right. Well, I'm not going to prolong this anymore. We got 9:56. Do you have 4 minutes of stuff, or should we call it a night?
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Yeah, well, we can
call it a night.
We can call it a night, yeah.
Because it'll be 4 minutes to talk to you about some garbage that I'm not allowed to talk about on the air.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So, well, thank you for standing in and short notice. My guest co-host, Alex Catula, standing in for Alex Waterloo. And certainly thank you to our guest, John Kalman, with JLC Airshow Management, and specifically for each of their shows, in this case, wingsovernorthgeorgia.com. Great show that's coming up, I think he said October, I wrote it down.
Yeah, October 12th and 13th.
October 12th and 13th. And we're going to try and arrange a little fly out. I don't know if we'll pull it together. I have to see what's going on work. But October 12th and 13th in Rome, Georgia, if you fly the airlines, what do you call it, ABC, Atlanta, Birmingham, or was it Chattanooga?
Yeah, Chattanooga.
Chattanooga, so kind of equidistant between those three.
Yeah, his was the Richard B. Russell Regional Airport, and I'm trying to look it up again, but what the identifier was on that again. But I thought I saw it on here, but
doesn't matter. I actually did write it down, and now all of a sudden it's not showing up.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. K Romeo Mike Golf Towers. I wrote it so fast. Field. So let's see if we can get a bunch of people go out there. Maybe we can all meet up and get that chalet.
You know what? While we're at it here, what was that identifier again?
It is. See, I already closed the page. I'm actually excited about the Kansas City barbecue. I love Kansas City barbecue. RMG Romeo Mike Golf.
RMG, just for fun.
Here. All right, let's do this. Yeah.
Just for fun. So, 483 miles direct, says 335 minutes flight time.
No problem.
Yeah.
Tank of gas. We'll have the winds behind us. We'll plan it out.
We'll probably get headwinds both ways.
No, I'm lucky that way.
I'm not.
So anyway, I hope you have a great week. And again, maybe you'll stop by again next weekend.
Yeah, I hope you have a good week as well.
Thank you very much. And I don't know if you know what Al and I say at the end of every show, but I'm wishing you blue skies.
And tailwinds.
All right. He knows it. All right, everybody. We are pleased that you joined us tonight and wish everybody a great week. Good night.
Good night.
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Heppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Heppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.